So when I was getting my material ready for this message, I came across this article about extreme stowaways. There were three guys that they sat on the rudder of a boat for 11 days, and they traveled 2,800 miles on the rudder of the boat. They were centimeters, their feet were centimeters from the sea, right? And they traveled all the way from Nigeria to Spain. And they spent 11 days on this boat. That when they got there, they were malnourished, dehydrated, that had hypothermia, freezing to death. And, you know, I was thinking, I can't really relate to these guys, but I sure can't appreciate these guys, because they were on the wrong boat, but they had to be running from something. There was people, they were running from something, they were trying to get away from it. And they just had to do what they had to do to get there. Now, it reminded me of this story in the Bible. So I want you guys to take your Bibles, and let's turn over to Jonah chapter 1. All right, my main text today is going to be out of Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them onto Tarshish." Now, let's pray. Lord, just, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to come up here, Lord, and thank you for the people that we brought out here today, and just all the good preaching we've already heard, Lord. I just ask that you take me out of the way and you use me here, and you just get into this message, Lord, and give these people a blessing, the same blessing you gave to me. I love you, and I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, when I look at these passages, I think of the state of life that I used to live. I was right there in Jonah chapter 2. I was the Ninevite. I was in that great city with all the things the world wants, right? I was the Ninevite living amongst the great city. No God to hold yourself accountable to. I was unaware of my wickedness. I didn't know that my wickedness came up before a holy God. I didn't know that the things I did, I was being held accountable to. I was going to have to answer for them one day. I didn't know this. But one thing I also didn't know was the cry against it. I didn't know my personal sin debt. I didn't know that God had a burden for me when I was in Nineveh. I didn't know he wanted to send people to me. He saw the wicked things I was getting into, the wicked people I was hanging out with, all the stuff I was doing. He's seen that, and he had a cry against it. If the Lord has to cry against it, it really matters to him. He didn't just think about me. He was crying for me. He wanted me to be right. He didn't want me to be living in a wicked way amongst those people in that wicked land. But I was unaware of the burden that God had for me. So I want you guys to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I was unaware of the love that God had for me. I was unaware of what I needed to do. And I was unaware of the burden he had for me. I didn't know that there was a perfect and holy God that I'd ever have to answer to. So I wasn't thinking on those things. I wasn't thinking about my actions or anything like that. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't really care. I didn't think there were any consequences for my actions or anything like that. But there was a God, and there is a God, and he had a burden for me when I was there. And it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men come slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wasn't willing that I would perish. The Lord wanted me to come to repentance, and he was going to do whatever he had to do to make sure that happens. Now, when I was in Nineveh, At first, I didn't know that I was being held, my sin, I'd be held accountable for my sin. I didn't know that I'd have to talk to God or anything like that. I didn't know that he had a burden for my soul. I didn't know he didn't want me to go to hell. I didn't even know if there was a hell. And I didn't know God's love for me. I didn't know my need for repentance. But then, just like Jonah, back here in Jonah 3, or in Jonah 1, I'm sorry. Just like Jonah, I got on the wrong boat, and the boat started moving. The direction of my life had changed. I was no longer just thinking of my sin or whatever. I wasn't ignorant to my sin anymore. I knew what I was doing, and I started heading that way. My life started going down that path. I was on the wrong boat. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." That I could see that that's the direction my life was heading, guys. I knew, I could foresee that if I stayed on the path I was on, I was going to be broken. The ship was going to wreck. You could see it. And the Lord sent out a great wind. It says over here in Psalm 48, verse 7. It says, "Thou breakest the ship of Tarshish with an east wind." The Lord was sending these things, these trials I was going through, these hard times, this brokenness in my life. Yes, it was coming from the Lord. The Lord will let things happen to you guys so that you can get to rock bottom, so that he can get a hold of you. It's hard to get a hold of somebody in Nineveh when they think Nineveh is this great city. So the Lord had to get me on a ship heading the wrong way, heading for a wreckage. And he had to start sending a storm while I was on this old creaky boat so that I'd start thinking about some things, so that he can get a hold of me, so that I would start actually paying attention to what was going on. And the longer you live without sin, or the longer you live with sin and without Jesus Christ, guys, it gets that much harder. The storms come harder. You're now resistant to the little things that the Lord was getting me with, because you've been going 40, 50, 60 years just ignoring your sin debt. You're not paying attention to those things anymore. It doesn't burden you. It doesn't trouble you thinking about what you're doing and how it affects the Lord and your eternity. You're not worried about that. But let me tell you guys about the day that I got saved. I was fresh off of a trip to Colorado with my best friends. And you know what happens in Colorado. We weren't doing the right things. And we come back and we wanted to keep going. We weren't going to do what was right. I was struggling at the time with substance issues and other things like that. And I came home that day, and we were getting ready to have a little party, have a little hangout, as you would. And my girlfriend at the time, she told me, she was like, "Okay, this is it. It's me or the drugs. You got to pick one." And she made me choose right there. And so that day, I was driving her home. And you see, She went to church, and she was always trying to tell me about this stuff, and she was putting me on to church music. And when I went to her church a couple of times, but I didn't really like it too much. It was one of those fog machine churches, and I couldn't get down with it, but I didn't really enjoy it too much. But one thing that came from that was I started listening to country singers that sing Christian music, because that's what she liked. And on the way home, after I dropped her off, I have Alan Jackson on the radio singing, "Are You Washed in the Blood? Have You Been to Jesus? Have You Been to," or singing about the fountain of blood. And the Holy Spirit is just using these things. He is convicting me of my sin. He's showing me where I'm going. He showed me what I've chosen. I felt like right then and there, that was rock bottom for me. I was able to see right there the direction my life was going. I had now made a choice, a big choice on, I'm going this way. I'm choosing this life that I'm living. I'm going to stay on this wrecked boat. But then the Lord, Alan Jackson, started singing, and he started convicting me, man. And let me tell you what, the Lord can use anything. And the Lord was using Alan Jackson singing hymns, okay? And it got to me. And when I got back to my apartment, there was no question about it. I knew I was bound for hell. And I knew I deserved to go to hell. But the Lord was able to get a hold of me right there. I was able to park my car right there in the parking lot. And he met me right there in the parking lot. I didn't have to come down the aisle at any Baptist church. I didn't have to open up a King James Bible or come to some preacher or, you know, confess my sins to some priest. I didn't have to do that. Amen. The Lord met me right there at my apartment building there in Grand Valley. And that day, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And I didn't say my life was perfect after that. I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I still had these issues that I just had 10 seconds ago, but now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm no longer on my way to hell. And the Lord was able to change my life. He saved my soul from hell. And then from that, he starts opening my eyes to things. Opens my eyes to the right book. Brings me to the right church. He used an old man at my apartment building that used to walk. He used to walk laps around the parking lot. And one day he met my roommate, and he asked my roommate if he knew Christ as a personal Savior and gave him a tract. And he's like, my roommate was going to the same fog machine church that I was going to. And he said, yeah, we go to church on Sunday. And Dell tells him, you know, Sundays are great, but how about you start coming on Thursday night to my church? So we started coming to Old Pass Baptist Church on Thursday nights. And the Lord started opening new things to me through the Bible studies and started showing me the truth in his word. And then I started coming on Sunday and hearing this guy preach. And it just started, my life started to change. My choices were changing. And eventually I was able to get off drugs. I was able to quit drinking. I was able to quit cursing. It wasn't me that did it, though. It's the Holy Spirit that resides inside of me. The God that saved me from hell was able to change me, change the direction of the boat that I was on, take me off that wrong boat, and put me on the right one. Now take your Bibles and turn to Jonah 3. In Jonah 1, I was able to relate to the Ninevites. But now that I've been born again, I'm able to relate to Jonah over here in Jonah chapter 3. In verses 1 through 3, you say, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I have the word of God right here, right now, because of the choices I made then. I can relate to Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto me. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, great city of 3 days' journey. Now that my choices in life had changed, and I decided to get right with God, I decided I'm going to church, I'm going to start living a Christian life, I want a testimony of Christ, right? I want people, every time they see me, to see Christ. I don't want them to remember I was there. I want them to remember that they just met a guy that knows Jesus Christ. That's all I want them to know. And after that, God gave me a calling, a new calling. The same one he gave to Jonah right here in Jonah chapter 3. God's word changes the people. I want you guys to see this in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, real quick. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed fast and put a sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Oh, there was a revival. They started hearing the preaching. That's what Dell was for me. Dell was Jonah when I was the Nineveh. He brought me to this church. He brought me to where I can hear the preaching of the Word of God. And it changed my life. And now my calling for life has changed. I now know what I, at least somewhat, know what I'm supposed to do. My calling in life is just to help win and help edify so we can pull someone else out of Nineveh. I spent too much time in Nineveh. I know how dark and deep that thing gets. It's scary sometimes. You're alone. You might be able to pretend when you're in Nineveh that, oh, this is a great city. I love my life here. But when you're laying in your bed at night and it's just you and your thoughts, nothing else, no one to put on a show for, you know deep down in your heart, you're not happy. You know there's nothing great here. There's nothing real here. It's all fake. I'm putting on a show for the people around me. I want my friends to think I'm cool. I want my kids to think I'm cool, whatever it is. But you know deep down, there's nothing real here in Nineveh. And the Lord pulled me out of that. And because the Lord pulled me out of that, I'm able to help pull people out of that. That's my job now as a Christian. That's our job, church. What you guys were for me when I first got here and how you guys helped pull me out of Nineveh, it's now my job to do that for the next coming of Christians. But I want to show you guys one more thing, because Jonah's heart wasn't right. It says in Jonah chapter 4 here, it says, but it displeased exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah wasn't excited about the job that he had to do. He wasn't excited about having to go preach in Nineveh. Now take your Bibles and turn just a couple books over to Nahum. Now, there's a couple generations that go by in between between Jonah preaching and Nahum coming around. And it says in Nahum 1, the burden of Nineveh. Because Jonah's heart wasn't right, a couple generations go by, another prophet comes up, the Lord has to burden his heart with Nineveh again. Because Jonah's heart wasn't right. He didn't live this calling of pulling people out of Nineveh. He didn't really care about that. That's not where his heart was. And you make a baby Christian comes around, you make a bunch of baby Christians, they get saved. What do? They make fog machine Christians. And before that, and before you know it, we're back in Laodicea. There's no, Christianity's no longer a thing. Those people don't really know God out there in Nineveh. And what do? They get right back on the boat. A couple generations down the line, they're going back to the exact same sins their family was in, and the Lord had a burden for Nineveh again. It's our job, guys, to keep this going. It's our job to keep pulling people out of Nineveh, keep winning them out of Nineveh, and keep edifying them. We need to keep this thing growing so that when Bob goes and then whoever's next comes up here and he passes on, this church doesn't die. The Old Past Baptist doesn't die. That this book can still live on. There's great people that came before us that went through a lot of persecution so that we could have this book in our hands today. And we can't let that die, guys. We have to keep going. We have to keep living the right life so that the people around us, whenever you do run into someone from Nineveh, they know there's something different from you. There's something different about you. Now, just to sum this whole thing up, maybe you can relate to this story a little bit. Maybe you were a Ninevite, right? You can relate to the story. Or maybe you haven't ever gotten right with God and you're still in Nineveh. I'm here to tell you, it looks inviting. The boat looks fun. When you're in Joppa and there's people on the boat and they're telling you, yeah, Jonah, come on aboard. The boat looks fun. But that boat's heading to destruction, guys. And you can see it. It's like to be broken. You can see it when it goes through the storm. You know it's not going to last you forever. You're just trying to hold on just one more day, one more week maybe. You know there's nothing real in this life. There's nothing real on this boat that you're on. But you don't have to stay on that boat. You can get right with God, and he can change the direction of your life. But that's all I got for you. Bob?